Elijah, one of my heroes. Let's talk about him on this edition of He Writes.
Hello, I'm Mike Kellogg, and this is He Writes, a program designed to tell Christians that God isn't mad at them. Bible teaching to help get you home. Here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, you might want to open it to 1 and 2 Kings. We have done all of the preliminary work in these two books, right? And it becomes quite apparent to me that we're going to be still doing this next week. I'm taking whatever time it takes to get through a particular book of the Bible, and we're not doing it verse by verse. I'm giving you some handles that will help you understand these books of the Bible. So when you do your own study, you'll delight in God's Word because of the stuff that you've learned. And so that's what I'm doing as a Bible teacher. I'm going through the entire Old Testament, and we're up to 1 and 2 Kings. We've looked at a number of things, and I'm just pointing out some things as we go along. But let me show you something new. Sometime you ought to sit down and read 1 Kings 17 through 22. It is just wonderful. You'll love it. It's the history of the relationship between God's bolt of lightning, Elijah. And Elijah has some bad stuff, and I'm going to show you some things about him. And Ahab, this horrible king. This is the place where we get all the, when you call somebody a Jezebel, well, this is where it comes from. It comes from these chapters, and you need to read the whole thing, and you'll learn some really good stuff about it. But one of my favorite chapters, maybe in the entire Old Testament, is the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. Now, I don't have the time, but I really want to read the whole thing to you and just stop it. But I'm not going to do that. But you're familiar with this story. Ahab called Elijah a troubler in Israel, and man, they were going at it all the time. And then it came down to this incident that happened on Mount Carmel. Now, this is the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. You remember that Elijah was God's prophet, and he was outnumbered. I mean, you're not going to play in a football game where it's just you against 450 bruisers on the other side. Well, that's what happened. Up on Mount Carmel, Elijah called these prophets of Baal, 450 of them, to come and do battle. Now, they didn't battle hand-to-hand combat. They were going to see whose God was really the God. And so Elijah, and it's just wonderful, he put a sacrifice on an altar, and he took jars of water and just soaked the sacrifice until it ran down the sacrifice and filled up the cross, and did it three times. And then he got on his knees, and he called out for fire. Now, that's putting it on the line, man. That's putting it on the line. 1 Kings 18:38 says this: "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water in the trench." I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would have been willing to risk that much, that big, in that place, but Elijah did. And that's why he's my hero. Let me tell you something. That's the secret of seeing God do great things. When you risk something that is so big that it just isn't going to happen unless God does it. William Carey, before he went as a missionary to India, some of the people in my family stood up, misappropriation of the doctrine of election, and said, "Sit down, young man. If God deems to save the heathen, he'll do it without your help." But Carey didn't listen. He attempted great things. And when you understand he was just a shoe cobbler who became the founder of modern missions, it absolutely blows you away. He raised funds for his trip to India, and in a sermon, this is what he said: "Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God." Let me give you a quote from Henrietta Mears. What a wonderful, dynamic woman. She probably has had as much effect on evangelical side of the church as anybody that I know. She had a tremendous impact on Billy Graham and Richard Halvorson. Oh, I could just go on and on and on. And she was the director of Christian education at a Presbyterian church in California. Listen to what she said. When our all is on the altar, God never keeps us waiting for the fire. That is so good, I'm going to give it to you again. When our all is on the altar, God never keeps us waiting for the fire. I don't want to make too big a thing out of this. If you've been listening to this broadcast very long, I've said you should attempt great things for God, but don't forget the little things too. But occasionally in your life, you ought to do something that just scares you to death. I mean, you ought to put yourself out on the edge that you know if God doesn't fix it, it isn't going to get fixed. You need to get into a pit so deep that if he doesn't get you out, you're going to stay in that pit. We all, and by the way, God's going to give you opportunities to do that. And when he does, be obedient because you never see the fire unless you are. I remember the time that I debated the president of the Atheist Association on the Larry King Show. Now, that was long before you knew who Larry King was. He was out of Miami, and I was a pastor in Miami, and he wanted somebody to come on his show with his atheist. And I thought, not me. When it gets very cold in a hot place, I might, but I'm not going to do that. And then I thought, you know, maybe I will. Put myself in a position where this guy can just make a fool of me. Maybe that'll be good for me. And so I showed up at the Larry King Show. And then when this atheist, the president of the association, showed up, he had all these books and files under his arm. And when I watched him walk through the door, I thought, oh my, I'm in trouble here. And I thought, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. They're going to find out how really dumb I am. I'm not going to know what to say. I'm not going to know what to do. You know what happened? I ate his lunch. You know why? Because I was too scared to do anything but trust God for doing something like that. Did you know that I decided to be a Bible teacher when I didn't have the foggiest idea what the Bible had to say? I mean, I started in the book of John. And I remember after three or four sermons, I said to the Lord, you know, I know you told me to do this, but you keep repeating yourself. And I told him everything that I know. And he said, in Hebrew, keep on trucking. And I was so scared because I didn't know anything. I'd read a verse, and I'd tell him what I thought it meant. And then I'd read another verse, and I'd tell him and you know what God did? God used that in an absolutely magnificent way. What's God telling you to do? If it's scary, do it. Now, don't get weird. Make sure that you've got a couple of brothers or sisters that you can check things out with. But really say, what is God telling me to do? Maybe it's to witness to a friend, and you want him to think highly of you, and you know that your friend is going to think less of you if you tell him about Jesus. Go do it anyway. Maybe it's risking financially. Maybe you haven't been tithing and been giving 1% and smiling at church like you're giving 40. Maybe God's asking you to risk and give 10%, to pledge 10% for your church. Do it. You know why? Because when our all is on the altar, God never keeps us waiting for the fire. Now, before we leave this whole episode, let me say couple of other things about it. The reason Elijah's sacrifice burned was because he prayed to and trusted a real God, a God who was really there. The reason the prophets of Baal had their prayers unanswered is that they were praying to a God who was dead. He really wasn't there. And so the main issue before you do anything is to decide, am I making this up or is this real? I've told you about an acquaintance of mine who had couple of PhDs, and he said, and he was an atheist, and he said, I've got a list of questions, and the first questions on my list is this: is there a God? And if there is, he's in charge, and if there isn't, I'm in charge. And I've got to find out. That's not a bad place to go. It's not a bad question for which one ought to search for answers. So if God is real, you can trust him, and if he's not, you can't. And so Elijah had done his homework. He knew that God was real. He knew that God was really there. And real things happen from a real God because he was worshiping a real God. And it is so much fun. You just got to go to this chapter and read it. It's so much fun to see Elijah sitting off to the side when these bozos are trying to get their sacrifice to burn. And he's taunting them. And you say, well, that's not very Christian. Well, that probably is. He probably had to repent of it later. But he was having such a good time. He's saying, where is your God? He's gone to Bermuda on vacation. And you can just see Elijah laughing and making fun of it. That's because he knew that there are some gods that ought to die because they never existed. Make sure that you're worshiping the right one and the true one and the one that has revealed himself to you. I'm you know, this is a hard place to be. I want to show you 1 Kings 19:1-4, but the time is running out, and there is no way I can start this and even get it finished. So what am I to do at this particular point? It's a hard decision, I just want you to know. So I'm just chit-chatting here until this thing comes to an end. Some of my students say they get so scared that they can't speak. And I say, well, if you do this a while, you just keep talking until something comes to mind. And I want you to know that by God's grace, I just filled about 45 seconds with nothing. You think about that. Amen. Well, listen, I hate it when that happens, but sometimes that kind of thing happens. Listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life tape family, I sure hope you'll become a part of it. I will fill those tapes with good Bible teaching because I don't have time constraints. And if you'd like to be a part of our Key Life tape family, you got to let me know. 1-800-KEY-LIFE. You can call 24 hours a day. Or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Midland, Florida, 32794. If you're in Canada, you can write Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address and ask to be a part of Key Life Tapes. Thereafter, your name will be included on the book of our Key Life Tape family, and every few weeks, automatically, you don't have to request it anymore, you'll start receiving a tape. Now, these are not the tapes of the broadcast. You have to subscribe to those. These are tapes of places where I teach the Bible at Reformed Theological Seminary's chapel, generally, at the Billy Graham Training Center, at the Lake Barclay Fellowship, at a missions conference or a Bible conference. And it's absolutely free without charge or obligation. I mean that. But that does not mean that I will turn down a contribution. If you can help us pray about it and be it generous as you possibly can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. Include a contribution in the envelope when you write, when you can, and for any contribution of any size, as my thank you, when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching, A Word for the Discouraged. Gotta go. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.